I want to extend Patrick's welcome. And as he indicated, this is an unusual Sunday. If you missed the beginning of the service, then you missed a big announcement. I've made the decision to transition off the staff of Christ Church in 6 weeks. And I'm going to talk today about why and how I'm thinking about the future. I've searched the depths of my heart and the four corners of the internet for a metaphor or image to memorably frame what I'd like to say, but I found nothing. So we're just going to get right to it. I want to open the hood a little bit and share with you about how I'm feeling. And I want to say three things. I want to say that I'm sad, I'm grateful, and I'm hopeful, all at the same time. First, sad. I'm sad about making this decision, in part because I love the people of Christ Church Mission. Christ Church Mission started 3 years ago as a launch team out of Christ Church Overland Park. And I love the people who signed up to join it the minute it was announced. Before who or where or why or how, the thought of starting something new and being on the ground floor of that inspired some of you to show up. I love those of you who asked me hard, searching questions about why and how and when and but eventually, you decided to throw your whole weight behind this effort. I love those of you who were not able to join that team, but have come to Christ Church Mission since and serve on Sundays and feel essential to our community. I love the people who came for the first time on our first Sunday and joined life groups and plugged in and never left. And of course, I love those of you who have been coming since then and have started to serve and feel a part of this. Our prayer for Christ Church in this new congregation was in large part shaped by Psalm 68, verse 6. God sets the lonely in families. We wanted to be a place of warmth and care, a place where lonely, hurting people could find a home and be loved. And in many ways, God answered that prayer. The Christ Church Mission is a thriving congregation that embodies something beautiful and true about the gospel. And this has everything to do with the people who have made this church home. And so when I think about waking up on Sunday mornings and not being on the ladder, putting up the letters on the marquee, or gathering with the team, or talking through the service, hearing Lindsay sing, it makes me really sad. I love this church, and it's hard and with a heavy heart that we're going to leave. But there's another kind of sadness that's been hanging over me the last 3 years. A lot of you know that my whole history with this project has been punctuated with loss at significant points. And we, speaking for my wife and I, have felt loved and cared for and upheld and not in any way disappointed by any of you. There is a measure of heaviness that just isn't lifting. And so the way I have chosen to make sense of that is to believe that God has something for us in this next chapter of our lives that wouldn't have been possible if our situation had turned out differently. It's not going to make up for it or make it okay, but I just have to think that there's something for us. And so, despite the fact that I love this church, and despite the fact that I care for some of you as much as I care about anyone, and I really mean that, we have to turn the page and open ourselves up to this new opportunity, whatever that may be. But I do so with sadness. Second, grateful. I'll never forget the day that Patrick called me and offered me a job at Christ Church. Part of that is because it was literally the day before my wedding. And I had a very awkward conversation with Meg the next day about where we might be moving in a couple months. But that's partly because I knew of Christ Church before applying for the job. And I had a sense that it would be an ideal place for me and Meg to land and to serve coming out of seminary. And I was right. Christ Church has been amazing, and it shaped me in ways that words cannot express, but I'm going to try anyway. I came here, and some of you were here, in September of 2011. And I had no idea how ministry worked. I wanted to do it. I had learned a couple things about it, but really trying to bring the gospel to bear on people's lives in the week in and week out rhythm that is life in the church, I just had no real vision for it. And Patrick and Kirk and Trish and Dean and the whole staff of Christ Church have given me opportunities to grow. They've invested in me. They've created an environment where I don't have to be perfect or invulnerable in order to succeed. And for that and for them, I'm profoundly grateful. I'm also grateful for you. Some of you guys left a strong, settled, vibrant church to try this, make this thing happen. I'm grateful. Some of you guys came when we were even less organized than we are now. And you decided to serve and start giving because you believed in it. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the Saturdays and sweltering summer nights that we spent in mission that first summer telling people about our church and inviting them to come to that first Sunday. I'm grateful for those of you who give up time with your families on Sunday mornings when you could be sleeping in or going to brunch to help set and tear down. I'm grateful for the way in which you guys have given yourself totally to this project. This is a very generous church. I'm grateful. But more than anything, more than what anything you've done, I'm most grateful for your faith in me. Patrick asked me to do this. What was that? May of 2014, I think. Is that right? May of 2015. And I underestimated the challenge of it. And not because of the preaching and the pastoral care and the leadership development. I mean, that stuff is hard. But the real burden is when you feel the pressure of wanting something to work so bad, but realizing that ultimately you're not in control of whether or not it does. And there have been a few very particular times when I've thought, man, I don't know if I'm the right person to do this. Like, I don't know if I'm fit well for it temperamentally. I don't know if I can abide the uncertainty of it. And over again, you guys have encouraged me and clarified and strengthened my conviction that I can do this. Let me just share one example. There was a weekend in August 2016 when we took all of our brand new AV equipment out of boxes and set it up. and loaded it in a trailer and drove it down to Sylvester Powell Community Center. It was a stressful weekend. And the setup process took like 3 hours longer than we had expected. And at the end of it, we did a mini service. It was kind of the first service in some ways. It wasn't public. It's just members of that original team. But we tried our best. And I gave a sermon on John 3 that was, by any objective measure, terrible. In part because I was so scatterbrained and distracted and concerned that this was so much harder than I thought, the setup. I remember driving home that afternoon thinking, oh my gosh, this whole thing might never launch. Talk about failure to launch, right? And the next day, I had lunch with Mike Bohan and Will Buchanan and John Nelson. And all three of them, without me asking, expressed how good they thought the day went. And I remember John Nelson specifically saying, that felt like church. That felt like something I would invite my family and friends to. And I thought, wow, if John Nelson believes in me, then maybe I can do this. That's just a small story, of course, but it's an example of the way y'all have cared and believed in me. And I'm going to take your confidence in me wherever I go. Sad, grateful, and hopeful. This is the final emotion. This one's going to be a little bit longer. I'm hopeful for myself, and I'm hopeful for Christ Church Mission. I'm going to talk about why. First, hopeful for myself. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah offers a song of thanksgiving after the birth of her son Samuel. It's kind of a precursor to Mary's famous song after she's visited by the angel Gabriel. And there's a verse, there's a line in the middle of that song. I think it's chapter verse 6. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. Strange verse. This is not something you see on graduation cards or refrigerator magnets. But it was a favorite verse of Martin Luther, actually. And his thoughts about it have really shaped me. I think I've talked with Jay Fowler a lot about this. Typically, preachers have, regardless of whatever text they're ostensibly talking about, they have like three or four messages that they always come back to that you can kind of figure out. And for me, I feel like one of my core heart messages is this idea of death and resurrection. We oftentimes think about the way God works in our life as like linear process. Step one, step two, step three. And God obviously does work in our lives in that way. But the New Testament especially talks about God working in our lives through death and resurrection. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Paul said, I have been crucified to the world. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So what is God up to in our lives? A lot of the times, something is dying, and God is putting something lovelier and different in its place. I've had to die to a few of my expectations and hopes about the way this next chapter of our lives was going to look. But God is going to put something lovely and beautiful in its place. And I can genuinely say that I believe that. I think that's really going to happen because that's how God works. Things die. God brings other things to life. So I'm hopeful that resurrection is going to take place. I'm hopeful for that, the blessing and the joy that comes from something that God calls forth into existence. So I'm hopeful for myself I'm also really hopeful for you, and I'm hopeful for the future of Christ Church Mission. I think and I expect that Christ Church Mission is going to be in a better place a year from today than it is right now. And the main reason, I don't want to say the main reason, one of the reasons why is because I know that your commitment to this church family is bigger than me. I think you guys like me. I think I made a positive impact here. I'm not being falsely humble. But I do think that there's something here that's greater than the sum of its leader. Well, that could have been weird if I said that one way. There's something that's greater here than the sum of its parts. And I just believe that the work that we've started is going to continue. And I think some of that is because of how we originally conceived of this working. And Mike Bohan is going to come up and speak a little bit briefly about that.
Hey, good morning. My name is Mike Bohan. I go to this church, and I guess the best thing that I could do is just get out of the way of such profound words and kind words. But I just wanted to tell you a little bit about myself and where I've been through this whole process. So I'm a member of the parish council, and what we do is we're a group of lay elders. Patrick wanted to make sure I said the word elders. I don't know about that, but we're lay kind of, or let's step away from that one. Lay elders of the church that kind of facilitate the vision of Christ Church. So one of the things I just wanted to just maybe convey to you guys is that, man, we were a part of this conversation of multiplying maybe well before there was even a mission footprint, well before there was a Nick. And I did want to say that we are sad to lose Nick, and he's been a part of kind of getting this thing off the ground. And on a personal note, Nick came crashing into my life about 7 years ago, literally like a bull in a china shop. And it's been that way since. And he's been a personal friend of mine. I think the day that he got ordained, he had just been rolling in from qualifying for the Boston Marathon, and you could still see beads of sweat on his forehead. And you just knew that, God, this guy's kind of crazy. But he became a very close and personal friend of mine and my family. I just wanted to offer that. But I also want to offer this most important point. Our mission hasn't changed. We are still going to continue to exist as a dual congregation, and we're still going to exist as a people to be fully alive in God's kingdom. So I just want to offer that that last thing of hope for all of us. And we're the manifest of a vision that's been part of Christ Church for a very long time. And I love the word healing that Nick said. We're part of just a hub of healing and mission. And we're here. Look to the left and the right of you, and that's us. We're here. We made it work, and we're going to continue to make it work. So go team.
I think Mike is more the bull in that china shop example, for what it's worth. But anyway, so yeah, I'm hopeful for Christ Church in large part because of you and because of Lindsay. Lindsay's freaking awesome, and she's going to still be here, which is great. The second reason why I'm hopeful for Christ Church Mission is because Dean Behrens is going to take over for me and lead the charge here. Dean has been deeply invested in Christ Church Mission from the beginning. Some of you don't know this, but it was actually a conversation I had with Dean at the filling station across from Shawnee Mission North that helped me figure out that mission was the ideal place in which to plant. Dean lives in this community, him and Jenny. It's where their kids play soccer. It's where they shop. And so I think Dean is going to be able to root this community and continue to root this church community in Northeast Johnson County in a really cool and a really genuine way. Dean's also an amazing pastor, and I'm using that word intentionally. He's caring, he's kind, he's encouraging. Dean is the kind of person you want around you when things fall apart. He's the person that you want baptizing your kids and supporting your marriage and helping you find your place in the world. I'm hopeful for Christ Church Mission because Dean is going to serve you really well. And final reason I'm hopeful, and this is where the sermon part is going to come in, is because the triune God we worship is determined to fulfill his kingdom purpose through us, whether we're hopeful he will or not. Acts of the Apostles ends with a word used no other time in the New Testament. And it's a single word, a koulotos. I can't even fake like I know how to say it. That's translated into English, without hindrance. So here's the verse. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Just think about this with me for a second, okay? Acts is the history of the first Christians. And Luke, the author of the book, does not end the story on a note of victory and triumph. At least not for Paul. He's a man under guard, not free. He lacks the freedoms, the advantages, for his own self-care and for the work of the gospel. But the temporal constraints and difficulties that would, under normal circumstances, obstruct the progress of the gospel did not stand in the way. Paul was under house arrest. The work of the gospel continued without hindrance. I think that's a hopeful and helpful reminder for us in this season of transition. I do not know what the future holds for me and Meg, but I know that Jesus is going to continue to work in our lives without hindrance. I have more of an idea of what the future holds for Christ Church Mission, and it's going to be good. But look, I ultimately don't know. Patrick ultimately doesn't know. No one knows what the ultimate future is for this or for any church. The unknown is a strange, jagged land full of unforeseen circumstances. But we can take heart because we are planted in a merciful, unflinching providence. Our God will not be hindered by the obstacles which so often hinder us. And as I look around right now, I see God's forward movement in this church family. I see it in the smiles of the kids that we serve at Rushton. This last Thursday, I tried to teach 25 second and third graders how to play basketball. An errant pass, an unexpected elbow, put a couple of them in the nurse's office, but they were smiling nevertheless. It's forward movement. In some ways, I see forward movement every Sunday morning when I come up here at the beginning of the service and encourage you to give yourselves in worship. And each week, I see progress, more of God's manifest presence more freedom and willingness to open ourselves up to the influence of His Spirit. I see it in your willingness to remove those chair covers and painstakingly put them back on every week. Some of these signs are slight. Some of them are significant. But they remind us that the Lord is at work among us, and His face is set like flint to achieve His cause, which is abundant life for all. In good times and in bad, in plenty and in need, in season and out of season, the work of the ever-present, crucified, and risen Christ cannot be constrained by anything, ever. His comforting, transforming gospel marches on. In darkness, He moves, He shines, He rescues, and He plows a new road ahead for all of us. And He does so without hindrance. Amen.